Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And we have Robert Maxwell and Hamilton Gardner here with us with the law firm of Holmquist & Gardner. Thank you again, guys, for joining us. Really, really appreciate it.
It's been great.
Thanks for having us.
So one of the questions that I get asked all the time, and I've gone through this personally as well, someone buys their first rental property, and they want to put it into an LLC. And I have an opinion on that, and there's issues on that on the lending side. I'm kind of curious to hear what you have to say on the legal side as well.
Yeah, and we were just talking about this on the break, so this is a perfect topic. And it's something that comes up time and time again. You will get someone that calls. They've got a great investment property that they want to buy. They want to start an LLC to either purchase the property or to buy the property and then transfer it into the LLC. And, generally this is done all the time. Mm-hmm. But this is a technical violation of any loan document you see out there is going to have the due on sale clause. And this is a technical violation of the due on sale clause within the documents when you transfer without the permission of your lender.
Right.
And so what I'm curious about from the mortgage standpoint is how you guys see this.
Right, right. Well, you're spot on. The deed of trust does say that if the ownership of the property changes without the lender's prior written consent, that can trigger a due on sale clause. If that happens, we issue what's called an acceleration notice, giving you 30 days to pay off that mortgage. So it's pretty high stakes. And so what that means is that when you now, and I'm referring in my world, we're talking about 1 to 4 unit properties. So a single family home, duplex, triplex, or fourplex. So those fall under the auspice of a single family home, single family lending. They've got different set of rules if it's a 5 unit or larger property or if it's a commercial property. So for a residential property, 1 to 4 unit, the title on those properties needs to be in the names of the individuals. And the loan itself, the note, your promise to pay is going to be in the name of the individuals. So it's just gotta be that way. You know, otherwise you're in violation of those documents. So what I've always done in the past, I wanted to run this by you, is for rental property, I set up an LLC. The LLC executes the documents with the tenant. So the agreement is between the LLC and the tenant. So that gives me, at least from what I've been told, a certain measure of legal protection, should there be a claim, that's going to be against the LLC, hopefully in that case. So I guess as an individual, I'm technically sort of subleasing to the LLC and the LLC, or leasing to the LLC and the LLC is subleasing to the tenant. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that's a level of protection. It's one way to go about it, and I do know clients that do that same process, and they go through it. And the LLC is essentially the property management company.
Yes.
And so that is a form of protection. Obviously, the whole purpose of an LLC is to protect that personal liability. Mm-hmm. So everybody wants to contain any liability to that house, and that's the whole reason behind the transfer into the LLC.
Yeah.
The other way is just, and this is just general advice, is a good umbrella insurance policy out there, along with, and
yes,
there's a lot of people
yes.
that you see that don't have this, and they don't
right.
know that's that's the first barrier.
I have
absolutely.
One.
And I do both.
In fact, actually, I have two.
Yeah. And that is a question for you. So let's say I've got an LLC I set up. My lease is between the tenant and the LLC, so I've got that level of protection. Now let's say the tenant slips and falls on the property, hurts themselves. Can they sue me as the homeowner, and the LLC, I suppose, for an maybe there was a slippery stair or this or that. I mean, you can always find something wrong, with a house. So what happens then? Is that where the umbrella policy comes in?
Well, hopefully your umbrella policy is going to kick in at that point in time, and maybe your mm-hmm. homeowner's insurance policy. But that goes to something that we were talking about on the break with Reba, that you can get sued in Washington State for any reason.
Yep.
At all.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
or wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right
yeah.
or wrong. And so if that tenant slips over a neighbor dog, they're going to sue the neighbor and then the property owner and then the property manager because they let a dog on the property.
Yeah.
It all just goes downhill.
It's
so
just,
they're looking for pockets and insurance money.
Right.
So it's just something to be prepared for.
And dogs being another issue altogether around rental property. Well, no, I have this problem all the time. I don't allow dogs. Even though I'm a huge animal lover and everyone knows it, I give to Seattle Humane tons of money every year, but I can't have dogs at my rental properties in the Midwest because my insurance won't allow it. because in the top like 3 to 5 things that get claimed every year are dog bites. And so the insurance companies won't allow it. And my brother, for a long time doing property management for me, was letting people bring dogs in. And I just had to be like, stop, you know. And most of the time they came in without him even knowing, and then he just let them stay because he didn't want to see the dogs have to get rehomed or left to do whatever. And it's just like, please stop doing that.
So I got one other question for you also, just kind of get back this LLC question. If let's say that I don't take the advice of you or the lender, I buy a home, it's in my name individually, I transfer the title to the LLC, I'm in violation of my mortgage. What about my insurance? Because my insurance is going to be in my name as an individual as well. So are there some potential, you know, problems that could pop up as well, you know, from that?
There's all sorts of problems. I mean, title insurance as well.
Right.
You don't get the specific endorsement for the transfer.
I hadn't even thought about that.
There's a lot of different items that come into play. And if you are doing it, you want to go the full route, and you want to make sure the insurance is in the name of the LLC. You want to make sure your contact your title insurance, make sure that's okay and everything up to date. Because the last thing you want is
because the insurance shouldn't be as much of a problem. Because I know, like, I have an LLC for my business. Of course, businesses get insurance coverage all the time.
Right, but from a lending standpoint,
I get the lender part.
Yeah, I mean, we have a mortgage to an individual.
Yeah.
If the insurance is to an LLC,
right,
and that home is destroyed, you know, there's a mortgagee clause on the insurance binder that says in the case of a loss, the loan gets paid first. So if there's no insurance, you know that your lender could technically have an uninsured property. As a lender, if we see that situation come up, we put our own insurance on the property.
Yes, force-placed insurance.
And then vendor single interest insurance. Mm-hmm. It's extremely expensive.
Yes, it is.
And it covers nothing for the owner.
Right.
So, nothing good can come from all of that. And what's scary is to transfer title on a property, it's really easy. I mean, it's a quit claim deed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's about it. You can just march down to the county courthouse and they'll record it, you know, right or wrong. Most of the time they'll do it. They're super cool people down there, but still. So it's really easy to get yourself into trouble like that.
So if you don't have a mortgage, though, then, transferring the property.
Then you can do that. Yeah,
you can transfer it in no problem, and you should at that point, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, as Rob was saying, you make sure that the insurance is in the name of the LLC. Get the title policy insurance endorsement. It's actually really cheap. It's usually only $100, $150. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's usually very – okay, so, Erica, that goes back to the question, because we've had this topic come over 15 years of working together, and we've done panel discussions and other things with other people about it. So what is the likelihood of the lender providing that written
– the written notice?
Yeah.
Well,
written approval for it.
If you look at your settlement statement or a loan estimate, there's a line item there which is called a tax service fee, and the tax service fee is a monitoring fee, and it monitors a couple of things, but it monitors a change in ownership, it monitors insurance, and if there's changes like that, it's going to notify the lender. It's a service that lenders pay for. Additionally, once a year, we're going to request an updated insurance binder on the property. Mm-hmm. And if we see that, now this is no longer a owner's policy, it's a renter's policy, a landlord policy, or if we see it's to an LLC, there you go. It's gonna trigger it.
Right. Okay. I get the trigger. But if someone goes and asks for that written.
Oh, ask for the permission.
Yeah.
Of it. It's going to depend on who the investor is on that loan.
Okay.
So if that loan is held by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, if it's essentially a conventional loan, or Ginnie Mae would be an FHA or VA loan, the answer is going to be no. We're not going to get permission. If it's a portfolio held loan, it's held by the bank itself, then you have a possibility that could happen.
Right, because I know I've had clients in the past that have had to move their properties in and out of LLCs because they're doing refinances.
Correct.
But that's still, every time, it's like, and then they worry about,
excise
what liability
taxes
issues and excise
well,
taxes.
Right.
It gets very
lots
convoluted. It absolutely
there.
Gets very convoluted. So I know we don't have much time left, and we want to make sure and get you guys' contact info out. But if you're open to it, we love doing other like panel discussions and things where we can bring our clients in. So maybe after we're done, we'd love to talk to you about maybe putting something together for an event. But let's get your information out really, really quick. Where can people find you guys?
You can give me a call at 206-438-9116. And my email is hamilton@lawhg.net.
Okay. And the website is lawhg.net. I do see you guys are on Twitter also. And then, Rob, your email?
Yeah, my email is rob@lawhg.net.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/max Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 for more Open House with Team Reba here on AM 1590. The Answer. The preceding program was sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.